From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. The coroner in Charleston, South Carolina, says the 9 firefighters who died in the furniture store fire there on Monday succumbed to smoke inhalation and severe burns. Officials haven't yet determined what started the fire, but the coroner says the furniture inside the building helped it spread quickly. Tonight, Charleston plans to hold several vigils for the 9 men. NPR's Adam Hochberg has been talking with people in Charleston about the men who died.
Like most civil servants, the firefighters who died Monday were by no means wealthy. Most lived modest middle-class lives. Some worked second jobs to help make ends meet. When Billy Hutchinson wasn't on duty at Fire Station 19, he often worked here at the Williams Barber Shop, giving his customers $8 haircuts and serving as a friend to the other employees.
He had a huge heart. Do anything for you. Good person, and always had a smile on his face.
Lauren Cruz, the granddaughter of the barbershop's owner, says she considered Hutchinson a second dad. Today, the other barbers here continued to cut hair, but the chair Hutchinson used remained empty, in tribute both to his 30 years as a firefighter and his more than 20 as a barber. Stylist Felicia Hovey says she last saw Hutchinson Saturday, when he was playfully dancing in the barbershop after it had closed for the day.
We have a lot of fun, and he wants me to dance with him, and I dance with him, and he laughs. He's really happy, and I didn't know that's already farewell.
As families plan the firefighters' funerals, which begin tomorrow, the 9 men are being remembered as husbands, fathers, friends, and public servants. There was Brad Beatty, who spent his off hours working as a stagehand at local theaters. Earl Drayton, who had retired from the fire department but came back to start serving again. And Brandon Thompson, from a family of firefighters, who was remembered by colleague Brian Bullock as a role model.
That whole family is just super great people. They don't take much crap from anybody. But when it comes to firefighting, they're some of the best around. They're very aggressive. They're very smart, very knowledgeable, but aggressive at the same time.
Victim Mark Kelsey was a Navy veteran who loved riding motorcycles. Michael French, at 27 years old, was considered one of the most enthusiastic young firefighters on the Charleston force. Mike Benke was a family man who worked part-time at a department store. And Bullock remembers Melvin Champagne as deeply religious, relying on God to help him deal with firehouse stress.
Nicest guy in the world, do anything for you. You need a shoulder to, you know, pray on, that's the man to do it. He'll pray with you in a heartbeat.
At Somerville High School, just outside Charleston, Lewis Mulkey was known not only as a fireman, but also as a coach. Mulkey was in charge of the school's junior varsity basketball team and also worked with the football team, performing those jobs the same way he carried out his duties as a firefighter, with what head basketball coach Thomas Newman describes as unusual drive and dedication.
He was always telling us stories about going to calls and roof collapse and him falling on things, falling on him and being the first one into the call. That's how he was. He was going to be the first one in a call when it happened because he was passionate about his job and about saving lives. And he's one of those people that you will never forget.
Newman says the high school is planning to name its basketball court in Mulkey's honor, and players will wear patches on their uniforms this season honoring his memory. Newman also is considering naming an award for Mulkey to be given each year to a student athlete, not necessarily the most valuable player on the team, but the one who played with the most passion, in keeping, Newman says, with the model that Lewis Mulkey always set. Adam Hochberg, NPR News, Charleston, South Carolina.